shit. I have not recorded in almost a month, and I just want to welcome you back to Girly MMA Fan Show Podcast, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I missed it so much. To be honest, I have no excuse of taking a little layoff. The only excuse I have is I was off being a fucking MMA fan, just like y'all. Enjoying fucking fights. So a lot has fucking happened. It's only been not even a month, and so much shit has fucking happened. I feel, of course, on social media, if you guys don't follow me on Instagram, go ahead and follow the Girly MMA Fan page. I am constantly on there, try to be there on there daily. So I'm not completely out of the loop. It was just recording. I don't feel comfortable recording when I'm not like into it, because it's just not fucking natural. It doesn't come off naturally, right? So you want to enjoy what you fucking do. And that's why I took some time off. Just enjoying fights. Let's get fucking started. Let me just take a little sip of my beer. Big news today. We're gonna start with some recent news. Paige VanZant signs with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. I know that a lot of people are surprised about that and didn't fucking see it coming. I had heard some, I think I was more shocked about it when I first heard about it. I had heard some rumors about a month ago that, whenever, right after her fight, and she had heard Dana talking shit, like, with that performance, how are you gonna go off and sign with us if you're fucking losing fights? He's not wrong, right? So I think that she thought Dana was gonna be right there for her, and what she thought, she was a little naive. Like, does she not know who fucking Uncle Dana is? Like, he don't give a shit about you, you know what I mean? So when she realized, I think quickly after that post fight the conference, I think that she decided then and there, like, hey, fuck this guy. He doesn't give a shit about my career. He's not gonna fucking help sign me again or whatever, and really started kind of shopping around. Rightfully so. Right after that is when I heard a little rumor that she was looking to sign up to Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, whatever the fuck it's called. If you don't know what that organization is, it's basically, they're like basically no gloves, like going all in, beating the shit out of each other with no fucking gloves. I know a lot of big time fighters have been asked to join this organization at the time, and I noticed that it's at the time where they feel like it's almost like the last resort, where they have no options to go to the bigger organizations like Bellator MMA, or the UFC might not re-sign them, or and they're a free agent. But it's kind of, a lot of people have, Bare Knuckle has got a lot of backlash because of how savage it is and how much damage a fighter would have to take in order to take those wins. But what has also came out of those conversations that fighters have said is the amount of money that they have offered them. And I believe Paige VanZant was offered a massive amount of money to fucking do it. And with her, because her man is over at Bellator. So for her to be offered, I thought that she was going to go over and join him at Bellator, which I felt is the smartest thing. Bellator is known to pay their fighters. So I know for a fact that they're a huge organization and they would have been able to pay her. But for her to decide to go to Bare Knuckle has more to do with her than the money, I think. It's the fact that, and she actually came after I had said this, she actually came out and she said and acknowledged, hey, everyone thinks I'm this fucking pretty face and I hold this stigma. I'm gonna go show out. It, to me, her pride got the best of her. She's trying to prove something to everyone that she's not just a fucking pretty girl. So I'm gonna go to fucking Bare Knuckle and fuck shit up over there. And but she find signs this four fight deal. I don't think that she, I don't know what she's doing. I don't understand what she's doing. She's gonna take so much fucking damage over there. And let's play this out. Let's say she does fucking like dominate over there. For this, for Bare Knuckle, this is a win-win. You got a huge name with Paige VanZant. They've never signed a name like her. And you got her going over there. I know as much as I don't like it, I'm gonna fucking watch it. So it's gonna bring a big audience to Bare Knuckle. But For Paige VanZant, I just don't see this going the best way for her. Even if she does dominate over there, what is she going to come back to the UFC after taking all that damage? You don't know how really she's going to come back. You don't know if after all that damage she's really going to come back. She obviously is prone to injury. She's already injured herself in the multiple times while she was in the UFC. So, what is she planning to do? Retire after the four fights? Come back and try to fight for UFC? Go after and try to fight for Bellator? Like, I really just don't understand what the fuck she's doing. It's just, I think that, like I was saying, I think that her pride got the best of her and she's trying to prove something. And yeah, probably was a little bit about, also partially about the money, but I think mostly it's her still trying to prove that she's some, not just a pretty face. So yeah, to me that was a pretty fucking stupid idea. I don't think it was a smart idea. I think she should have went to Bellator. It is also a much more respected platform that she would have gone to fight for. So don't really understand what the fuck she's doing there. All right, so the next one, I know this one's kind of old. It seems kind of old, but it's only about a week old that this news came out, or a couple weeks, whatever. Yair Rodriguez versus Khabib. Yair out of that fight due to a injury. There's been some back and forth fucking trash talking between them. Dana White has came out and said that he is planning to find a replacement for the Khabib fight. I have not personally seen any official announcement of a replacement. However, I myself have some suggestions. Let's remember that Brian Ortega was supposed to fight Zombie, the Korean Zombie, sometime. Like, it's already agreed, but they haven't signed a contract. And that's just been delayed and delayed due to COVID. Brian has been training. I've been following him. He's been training. He's been active. I heard some talk that they threw Cater's name out there versus Khabib, but to me, it just makes sense. Brian is already ready and training. Why not do Khabib versus Brian? And then Cater just actually fought not that long ago, so you can do Cater versus Korean Zombie. Although, it is that would make Cater at number five fight Zombie at number four and Brian Ortega at number two and Zabib at number three. So it just makes more sense that you would do Brian versus Zabib and then wait for Zombie to come back whenever this COVID is over. I don't know if they could do it at Fight Island or what the fuck. To fight Cater, the number five versus the number four. The only thing that I see this not being favorable for, the only person I see this not being favorable for would be the Korean Zombie. Just because he would be fighting the number four versus the number three. That's quite a big of a change, but maybe there's a reason why they're not considering Brian, and I'm honestly really surprised that Brian hasn't came out and fucking said anything. Maybe he's likes the position that he's in number two and doesn't want to ruin that and maybe lose to Zabit. Obviously Cater versus Zabit already happened. That was a great fight, but I think at the end of the day, if you would have done Cater versus Zabit in five rounds, I think that Cater would have definitely took that fight. So yeah, so that's my fucking 2 cents on that. I want to see Brian versus Khabib, but we will see. We will see. They're supposed to fight at the end of the month, so they still got a little bit of time to see who they're gonna find, to see who the replacement's gonna be. But Yoel Romero is out of the fight versus Uriah Hall due to injury. Robbie Lawler is now going to fight Neil Magny, so that's super fucking exciting. Anytime you get Lawler in there, I'm fucking watching. Like, it's gonna be fucking savage. It's gonna be great. Yeah, so we have a couple. So I'm excited for those fucking fights. Also, this week, These last couple weeks, Dana White Contender Series restarted, and I have been watching. So far, eight fighters have gained contracts. They have all been pretty good fights. Last week, this past week, which was on, or I mean yesterday, Tuesday, the fights were great. There was almost all TKOs or someone got KO'd. We have Dustin Colby, Euros Medic, Jordan Lee Elliott, Dustin Sulfus, Adrian Yanez, Cody McKenna, TJ Lamari, and Impa. Not even gonna attempt to say his last name. Those are your eight people that got contracts. They all looked amazing. All right, so coming up next, I have UFC Fight Night Vegas. This past weekend, I did watch the fights. I actually missed some of the fights. So UFC Fight Night, I'm pretty much just gonna talk about three fights. There was a bunch of TKOs. There was a bunch of there was literally six finishes out of 12 fights. They were all great fights. The Kevin Holland fight, the Tim Means fight, they were just, if you didn't get a chance, you guys have got to go and watch that card. But I really want to talk about two specific fights, which is the Derek Lewis fight and the Chris Weidman fight. Very two different subjects here. Derek Lewis, I want to talk about his performance. I guess what I want to talk about is his ability to really showcase himself and really show out that he's not just a knockout artist, but really showcase some of his ground game. His cardio looked pretty good to me. He looked like he made some adjustments as an MMA fighter, and honestly, it's pretty impressive that he was able to put on the performance that he was able to put on. Oleinik is obviously not some fucking chump. I think that he did a good job on making sure that people are seeing him in a different light and really seeing him as a mixed martial artist and respecting him as that, not just a knockout artist that, you know, is gonna gas him however long, and it's just gonna be this long, terrible fucking heavyweight laying on heavyweight type of fucking deal. So, I like what I saw in Derek's performance. He really showed out in this. So I remember when Derek Lewis first came into the game, he started, he would say shit like, oh, I'm gonna be champ, da 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 da, and people would literally like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, I remember watching this guy on the prelims and like kind of like laughing. It was like one of his first few fights, and he was like fucking talking about already being champion. I was like, who the fuck is this guy, you know? Since then, he did lose a couple fights, and then he won some fights. And then he really started kind of making a name for himself. And then he lost to Daniel Cormier, and then he lost to Junior Dos Santos. But you know, you can't, for first of all, Junior Dos Santos, I mean, Daniel Cormier is Daniel Cormier. Junior Dos Santos, obviously, he is Junior Dos Santos. Like, come on. Former champ. I mean, he's doing what he's got to do. He's on his way to a good path here. Chris Weidman, although he got the win, I don't remember the last time that someone was this fucking tired. It was kind of ridiculous how fucking tired Chris Weidman was. He is not, he's definitely not the fucking first person. I mean, the champ that he was one fucking day to the sport. Dude looked fucking out of shape. At this point, I'm just kind of disappointed that although he got the win, like I said, it just was not a great performance. His cardio was just terrible. The rest of the fights on this card, guys, these are all like round one there's like four fights that ended in the round one, and then there's two. One of them ended in submission. Kevin Tucker versus Justin James. That one ended in submission at the end of the third round. All of these fights were super fucking good. I had to go back and rewatch them because I didn't really get to watch them on Saturday night. But up next, I wanted to just touch a little bit on Bellator 243, Chandler versus Benson Henderson. Guys, of course, Benson Henderson, the former lightweight champion at UFC. Since then, he left to Bellator, where he's kind of had not such a great fucking career over there. It's kind of towards the end of what happened at the UFC. It's kind of like he wins one, he loses two. It's kind of hard to keep him afloat. But he got TKO by Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler, you guys, Michael Chandler is a free agent. So Michael Chandler came from Strikeforce, right? Went straight to Bellator and has not left since. Michael Chandler has been, to me, one of the guys that just is needs to be at the UFC. He's at the elite level that just he needs to graduate and just go over there. And he's been ready. He has fought some of the greatest fighters over there. He has not lost since. His performances are just every single time that he has fought, it's just he looks amazing in all of his performances. It's just time. It's time to get him out here. And it's time to get him over here, you guys. If you don't know who that is, I mean, you have to be like a super casual fan to not know who Michael Chandler is. But if you don't, go ahead and look him up. All right, other than that fight, let's not lie here. The biggest name and the biggest news out of that card was Valerie Laranda versus Tara Graf. If you didn't know who the fuck Valerie was then, you definitely know who Valerie is now. So I've been following Valerie, and she has a lot of controversy surrounding her because of her style of dressing and how she approaches social media and treats her social media. Look, guys, I understand her frustration, and she's 22 years old, first of all. Okay, she is very, her content is very sexualized. Here's my thing though. You got people like Rachel, you got Raquel, what is it, Rachel Ostovich, which in my opinion is not talented, right? So she's not somebody that's gonna, like, she uses her platform and her advantage because she's a fucking hot girl, but to me, she's not a skilled fighter. But she's smart by using that. She makes her fucking money by doing that. I understand why people are gonna say she's giving the fucking the game a bad name and da 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 da. Like, I'm not gonna get into this too deep. All I'm gonna say is that there's a big difference between Rachel Ostovich and Valerie Lorena. Valerie has been training Taekwondo since she was 3 years old. She actually has the skill set to become somebody and be, she's a hot prospect. And this is, I looked into her before, all of this shit, before this fight. I had been following her and I had been on her, and because I did read about her background and her sister actually. Her mom and dad are also Taekwondo champions, and they've been training her since, and her sister, since they were really young. I'm sure all of you guys now fucking know this because she's been all over the place, all over social media after her knockout over Tara. And the reason I say there's a big fucking difference is because Valerie has talent, and she really had her performance really fucking did shut the like a lot of people up. And at the end of the day, whether you sexualize your fucking content or not, she has the skill set. Let her do whatever the fuck she wants on her fucking Instagram. Like, it's not affecting her performance. If she's getting her wins and making sure that she's taking out anybody they put in front of her, I don't see why it's a fucking problem. I know that this is a sensitive subject, and a lot of people are like, she's demoralizing the sport, especially Tara Graf had a lot to say about her. And, she's all fucking nails, hairs, and lashes. But you know what? She got her fucking ass beat, you know? So, we shall see how Valerie performs. I don't have a fucking problem with how she presents herself. She wants to show her fucking ass on the fucking, internet. I don't give a shit. Just give me a good fucking fight when you're in the cage. I think that the biggest thing is like they're taking away fight. They are taking away fights and space from fighters that deserve to fight. Look, guys, in my opinion, if you're a great fighter, you shouldn't have to fucking it doesn't fucking matter, because if you're good enough and you're making a performance and you're putting on a good fucking show, you're beating everyone in front of you, your name is going to be up there, whether you are fucking over-sexualizing your content or not. If you're a good fucking fighter, you're going to be fucking in the conversation. So if some people are implying that these girls are really taking up space for top contenders, I don't fucking think so. I just don't think so. I think that at the end of the day, if you're a good fucking fighter, it doesn't matter, because you're gonna beat everyone in front of you and you're gonna become relevant like that. And you're gonna stay relevant because of your performances, not because of your looks. So she might be, one might be relevant because of their looks, but she's relevant because of the fighting skills. So it's like, I don't know. It just, to me, it just doesn't fucking matter, because your performance at the end of the day is gonna take. I don't know, that's what's really gonna matter at the end of the day. All right, so that's enough with that. Now, UFC 252, you guys. Let's get into UFC 252. Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier, the trilogy. Okay. They're saying that this is gonna be the biggest trilogy of all time, and da 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 da. I think that people are so stoked about this fight, and I'm not so stoked about it. Honestly, I think that it's a very hard fight to pick, like who's gonna win, but I'm not like super stoked about it. Like, I'm not like so excited about it. I'm more excited about the next fight. We'll get there. I'm more excited about that fight than anything, but I'll break it down. Whatever. Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier. First fight, Daniel Cormier takes the belt. Double champ. Second fight, Stipe takes the belt back. Now it's the trilogy. Who will win this fight? Daniel Cormier has already said that he is going to retire after this fight. Wouldn't you love to see him go out as a double champ? I don't know. To me, I would love to see that. This is really going to be a fight where Daniel Cormier is just going to lay on top of him, to be honest with you. That's what I think it's going to happen. Stipe Miocic has beautiful striking, but at the end of the day, I think that Daniel Cormier is going to do what he does best. And it is what it is. I'm taking Daniel Cormier in that fight. So let's get to the next fight, which is the one I'm so fucking excited for. Sean O'Malley versus Marlon Vera. You guys, this right here is the battle of the prospects right here. Marlon Vera. This one right here is gonna be the one to fucking watch. So, Marlon Vera usually fights really long, okay? So, and he's usually a big fighter, like pretty big fighter for his this division, right? Sean O'Malley's gonna look fucking huge compared to him in this fight. They have very similar fighting styles. They're both good at striking. Their jiu-jitsu is just, they're both good at jiu-jitsu, although Marlon Vera, I feel like, is better at jiu-jitsu. I think he is a better grappler at the end of the day. I think that he works it more in during his fights, even. He has a lot of wins based on submission. The The problem here is that they're so close in styles, to be honest with you, that you kind of have to nitpick and really kind of break it to like the little things, like who is going to outdo who and what. So Marlon Vera, if they end up on the mat, I think that Vera will definitely take advantage of that and over grapple him. I mean, like grapple him and outdo him there. I just think that at the end of the day, if Vera wins this fight, it's going to be huge. Sean O'Malley is one of the biggest fucking names that you can beat right now, guys. I mean, he's literally all over social media all the fucking time. He's not even fighting, and I mean, he didn't fight for a while. Or he wasn't fighting, and a lot of fucking people like knew who the fuck he was. He has a huge audience. So if Marlon Vera can pull off this fucking win, it will just be so huge for him and just kind of rocket ship him up to the top. Well, not to the top, pretty high up there. If Marlon Vera wins this fight, it is not good for Sean O'Malley. Whoever, well, not good. I mean, it's not going to be good as far as like, he's not going to be as hot, and he's going to be looked at as somebody that was like kind of like overhyped hard. But for Marlon Vera, if he loses this fight, he just kind of stays right there at the gate, kind of really fighting the guys with that aren't ranked, and kind of, he's gonna be a stay active, is what I'm saying, as a fighter. For Sean O'Malley, it's kind of like he would really kind of lose a lot if he's just on some really good shit right now, and it would be a really bad thing for him to lose this fight against Vera. Regardless, I'm gonna pick Vera to take this fight because I just want him to fucking win. I want him to submit him. I would love to see a fucking striking match just bang it out on the top, fucking standing up, just bang it out. It would be fucking great to see that, preferably. And then maybe we'll see who wins that fucking exchange. Obviously Sean O'Malley, that wouldn't be a good thing to, honestly, for Vera, just because Sean O'Malley is so much fucking bigger than him. But yeah, I would love to see Marlon Vera this fight win this fight. I know a lot of fucking people, I don't know why. Well, I do know why. A lot of fucking people do not like Sean O'Malley. Let me tell you, O'Malley, they do not like him. They think he's fucking cocky. He reminds us. I know Gabe last episode or whatever we had last talked about this possible matchup, said that he said that it's reminding him a lot of like Conor McGregor was kind of coming up, where he had a lot of hype behind him. He talked a lot of shit. A lot of people didn't really like him. Stylistically, not so much, I think, but just the way that he's coming up, it kind of does remind me of like how people really fucking hated Conor when he first started coming up because he would talk so much shit. That's kind of what this reminds me of. Well, and I wouldn't even say shit, because at this point we don't really know if he, is gonna back up his shit and really get, when he gets up there with the big dogs, is he gonna be able to perform and kind of really come through with those fucking performances, the same type of performances against higher caliber fighters. We'll see. So next on the card is going to be Junior Dos Santos versus Rozenstruik. So Junior Dos Santos is coming off of two losses, but I guess I'm not gonna excuse his losses, but at the same time, he lost to Curtis Blaydes, which is probably Curtis Blaydes, which is probably a future champion, to be honest with you. Not a big fan of him, but I'm gonna say the truth, probably a future champion. And he lost to a Francis Ngannou. Like, can't really take anything away from the guy, So Rozenstruik also coming off a loss of Ngannou and got KO'd. So Junior Dos Santos obviously had those two losses against them, but before that he had won six in a row. So you can't really take a lot from him, and he looks fucking jacked right now. I don't know if you guys follow him on Instagram or not, but motherfucker looks jacked. Like, he looks like so good, and it's not even like steroids jacked. It's just like he looks ripped, bro. Like, You guys need to check it out. I don't know if you guys want to check it out, but he really does look good. So Rozenstruik also coming off a loss of Francis Ngannou. Before that loss against Francis Ngannou, he got into the deeper rounds with Alistair Overeem, and he KO'd him in the late rounds. And then he also took out two more opponents before getting knocked out. He also took out Andre Arlovski and Alan Crowder in less than the first round, like in the first under a minute in the first round. Like he fucking like demolished him. So this one's pretty simple. If Rozenstruik does not KO if he doesn't, you know, knock out JDS, which is honestly kind of hard to do, but then again, it's Rozenstruik, so it might happen. JDS is just gonna honestly take him to the ground and submit him, I think. He can also stand there and fight with him if he wants, but he's gonna have a hard time exchanging with him because he's always just gonna have the risk of getting him to land that heavy hit, man. So I'm also going, I think that I'm gonna take, guys, I don't know. I haven't decided who I'm taking in this fight. I actually left it blank, I just noticed. And it's probably because I couldn't decide. I'm going to take a risk here and say that JDS is going to take this fight. I might be wrong, guys, but I'm going to trust my gut on this one. Next fight up is John Dodson versus Mirab. Not even going to try to say his last name, guys. Dodson, obviously, former champ. The guy has the most experience in the UFC. He has so much fucking experience. I mean, he has fought fucking everyone you can think of in his division and in other divisions. He's fought Peter Yan. He's fought Jimmy Rivera, Pedro Munoz, Marlon Morris. I mean, he's fought TJ Dillashaw. I mean, he has some experience, okay? And so, Mirab, yes, coming off a nice little streak here, but the last fight that he fought was, the last fight that he fought, he won, and it was against a guy named Gustavo Lopez, which is coming out of Combate, which is an organization, fighting organization, after his other opponent got pulled out. And the Gustavo came in here on short notice. He looked gassed. He looked kind of, I mean, Gustavo fought a good fight, but Mirab, I mean, he took the fight, but it wasn't like, it was a dominating win, but it wasn't nothing like impressive. And look at and I think what I'm really taking away from looking at these two guys' record is the level of experience. Mirab really is a good striker and a wrestler, but you know, again, I've talked about this time and time and again. The level of competition is not at the same caliber as John Dodson has faced, and I think that that's ultimately what's going to come. It's going to come down to. I think that I'm going to take Dodson on this fight. I think that he's going to really outsmart him in this round just based on experience. I just think that watching his last Mirab's last performance, I wasn't that sold on him. So that's just me. I might be wrong. The next fight, it's gonna be short and sweet. The last fight we're gonna talk about, guys, Jim Miller versus Vince Piacho. I think that's how you say it. Vince Piacho? I don't fucking know, guys. It's not going to matter because I'm not going to talk about the dude. All I'm going to talk about is Jim Miller. This guy is my guy. Miller needs no introduction. I'm going to just say that right now. One of the most elite jiu-jitsu practitioners you can see in the UFC to this day. I think he's fought 22 fucking times since 2012 against fucking elite-ass fighters, okay? He also fucking has Lyme disease, and dude is still fucking fighting. Like, how can you not root for the guy? I'm not saying that that's the only reason that I'm fucking rooting for him. I'm rooting for him because he's Jim fucking Miller. And there's not going to be any analysis there. That's just all I'm going to provide in that aspect of it. I'm sorry for the you guys that were hoping that I break down that fight, but I'm really not, just because it's not going to really matter. I want Jim Miller to win this fight. Last thing I want to talk about is some prospects, some people that I really have my eye on in the last few weeks that I feel are going to be some people to watch out for. And I want to put it on record that I have my eye on these guys, and you should probably, if you don't follow them on Instagram, go follow them on Instagram, follow their story. This is what the game is about, you guys, is finding fighters that you see something in from different organizations or the UFC, and remembering them and watching them grow from their, from when they're so small into becoming these fucking superstars by their performances. Sometimes you don't get that, and sometimes you do. So that's just me. I don't know if you guys, that's the fight fan in me that loves to do that. So before that, though, it's time for another beer, guys. So there's a couple of people that I want to talk about that I'm actually very excited for, and I wanted to mention. So the reason I get so stoked about talking about prospects, when I'm talking about prospects, is because it's my favorite part, like I said. It is when you really get to know fighters from when they first start. Nobody really knows them, and you just get to see them from the bottom. I especially get excited when I actually find somebody that's like super fucking good, like for the level of competition that they're fighting or whatever it is. Okay, so the first person that I want to talk about is actually already in the UFC. His name is, you guys, I'm gonna butcher his fucking name, so I'm gonna just go with it and say it's fucking Movsar Evloev. That was the best, that's the best you're gonna get. 26 years old, Russian fighter. He is 3-0 in the UFC, 13-0 in MMA. He fights out of a camp. He fights out of a gym in Russia, which is a smaller organization. He's actually has the best record of the gym there. It's called Fight Club Nart. It's quite small. It doesn't have really anybody big, but he is also affiliated with Tiger Muay Thai Gym. If you don't know, they house people like Petr Yan and Valentina Shevchenko. So for him to even have an affiliation with that gym says some pretty good things, okay? So all of his fights have been, the three fights have been decisions in the UFC. Originally, I got my eye on this guy because he was fighting somebody named Enrique Barzola. He fights out of AKA, and I tuned in originally to watch Enrique Barzola. I ended up paying more attention to fucking Evloev because he was so fucking good. This is, you might remember this guy, his last fight was against Mike Grundy. This was not that long ago. This is he was kind of in talks because of how many fucking scrambles he got out of. It was pretty fucking insane. Every single time he got taken down, he was able to get the fuck back up, and his striking is solid. I think that this guy is going to be coming up fast here. So not fast, not like fucking O'Malley fast, but you know, pretty quick here. I would give him two more fights before people really start noticing him. His cardio from his last fight, obviously he could fight till the end. He's won all three of his fights in the UFC via decision, and they're not, when I say decision, these are not boring fights, you guys. These are very high paced fights, very entertaining. Guy could fucking, you know, strike. He can really work the mat also. He's not fucking boring. So I'm excited to see what this guy has. So the next person that I want to talk about is actually out of Invicta FC. If you don't know what Invicta is, obviously they're just a smaller promotion. They only have fights for women, so it's a good kind of platform. It's kind of the platform where, you know, the Karate Hottie came out of there. So a lot of people that came out of there. It's a pretty big platform for the fighters. Once you get to Invicta, I think that your next step, if you're really good, is just you get signed to the UFC and that's that. But this girl, I watched a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how long ago it was. I want to say it was a few weeks ago. Erin Cold-Blooded Blanchfield, 21 years old, American fighter. She's 6-1. Her only loss was a split decision versus Tracy Cortez. So you might know Tracy when she fought in the Dana White Contender Series. She fought against a big name, which is also another one of my prospects, and took away the only loss from Mariah Aganova. Her only loss is against Tracy. So both of these fighters, Mariah and Tracy, are in the UFC already, and they're doing pretty well. Tracy's on a pretty good winning streak. Mariah hasn't lost. She just had her debut a few weeks ago with the UFC. She looked amazing. There's some big names out there talking about her. I also mentioned that I'm a big fan of her, so I'm excited to watch both of them. Back to Erin. Those are the only two people she has lost to. The only person she has lost to is Tracy. And, you know, Tracy, the only person she has lost to is Mariah, which is a good level of competition. It's pretty impressive that she's able to keep up, especially with her age. I mean, these two other fighters are pretty young as well, but she's looked very impressive for the level of competition that she is at. What I like and love about Erin from now is she's been in Invicta for a little bit now in different divisions. She is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. That's not the impressive part, my friends, okay? What I really, really caught my eye with her is she really went in there in her last fight and she avoided the ground. She didn't avoid the ground, I want to say, but she was there to prove a point that I'm not just a fucking ground fighter. I'm not just going to take you to the mat. I'm going to throw head kicks. I'm going to strike with you. I'm going to ground and pound. She ended up finishing the fight, ground and pound, and ended up submitting her. She looked absolutely incredible in that fight. And I have no fucking doubt that this girl is going to be in the UFC, telling you. I do want to see her fight another two or three fights at Invicta, though. I don't want her to catch a big head over at Invicta and just think that she could go straight to the UFC. You guys obviously have been seeing what's going on with some of the younger fighters. I actually posted about it on my Instagram, one of the younger fighters that was, you know, looking to be a really hot prospect in Max Roshkanov, I think that's how you say it, who was recently released. You might remember his name by the guy that was, there was a lot of controversy on his stoppage because he was telling his coach over and over to stop the fight. I can't do this. And his coach refused to do it. And he just like gave up basically. That's kind of what I had talked about on there is, you know, these kids win a few fights in a lower competition promotion and they think that they can, they're ready for the big show. But, you know, that's a perfect example of people, you know, younger generation coming up and thinking they could just blow through the lower competition and come in and fight the same in the UFC. It just doesn't go that way. This game is not fucking easy, especially with the pressures of knowing that you're fighting for the biggest MMA platform in the fucking world. It is not just going to come easy to you. So I hope that she does take her time over at Invicta, really kind of solidify herself there, and then decide to come over. If she's still doing well, then, you know, consider going to the UFC. So the last person I want to talk about is fighting out of LFA right now. His name is Bruno Souza, 24 years old Brazilian fighter. He's 7-1. He only has one loss in his record, and that was his first pro fight. He's on a 7-fight winning streak, guys. He is training out of Machida Academy. Academy? Really? Academy? Academy. Lyoto Machida's gym. I mean, I don't have to introduce Lyoto Machida. Listen, let me tell you what I liked about this guy. I watched his last fight, his LFA fight. His style, traditional karate, kind of super. I think that the most I enjoyed about what I enjoyed most about his performance, he looked so poised, calm, collected, just beautiful on his feet. Perfect fucking. It's just the traditional karate stance. Almost, I don't know. It almost reminded me of fucking Machida. So, he looked really impressive in that fight. Also, didn't gas. You know, he wasn't scared to. He got taken down a couple times. He wasn't scared to kind of work on the mat. So that was also something that I noticed. I do. Anybody that is training under Machida, I am going to keep my eye on. So especially when this guy is on a 7-fight winning streak. Like I said, again, I would want to see this guy have a few more fights with LFA before even considering start calling out names in the UFC or start wanting a contract over at the UFC. All right, guys. So that was my top three prospects that I've noticed in the last couple of months. And I just hope that these fucking guys come up soon. I have the feeling that they are. That's pretty much it for tonight, guys. Again, if you don't follow me on my Instagram, I am on there daily, so you can go ahead and just add me on there, Girly MMA Fan on Instagram. Also on Twitter, Girly MMA Fan. You'll find me on there. I'm not as active on there. I'm more active on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram or fucking Twitter or both. I don't give a shit. Whatever your preference is, just follow me, okay? I will talk to you guys very fucking soon. Peace.